Welcome to N is for Networking, the short, sharp podcast where we explain the jargon, acronyms, and concepts of the networking industry in plain language. I'm your co-host, Ethan Banks, a grumpy old network engineer who's been pushing packets around since the 90s. And with me is co-host Holly Metlitsky, who is a university grad with a master's degree working in the networking industry, but pretty new to the scene. And in this very first episode of N is for Networking, you'll meet Holly and me, and we'll share with you some of the topics we'll cover in future episode. So Holly, it is lovely to be recording our very first episode together. Would you tell the nice people listening a bit about yourself?
Sure thing. I'm great to have to be here, and I'm really impressed with your pronunciation of my last name. That was impressive. But yeah, I was born and raised in South Africa, so you know, for our listeners, the accent might be a little bit unfamiliar, but I'm sure you'll get used to it over time. I did my undergrad there in industrial engineering, so non-network related. Moved to the US just over 2 years ago, completed my master's degree at Cornell Tech in operations research and information engineering. So again, not quite network related, but we're getting towards it. And then I landed up in the networking space really by chance. Some side hobbies. I'm a touch rugby player. So I play for the New York City mixed team. We've got a nationals tournament coming up in Phoenix, if anybody's down there end of October, which is quite exciting.
You said touch rugby. So like,
yeah.
Okay. So as an American, I didn't happen to have the opportunity to play rugby. Seen it on TV. It looks like football, but a bit more violent in some ways. I'm really intrigued, but this is touch rugby. So I think it's rugby minus some of the violence.
Yes. So instead of full contact, it's more of a touch or a push or shove instead of running into each other. So I like to compare it to flag football, I think is the most comprehensible thing that Americans can align with, but without the flags. Yeah. So more okay. So just touching instead.
All right. Your undergrad degree was industrial engineering, which you said doesn't translate to network engineering. But what would industrial engineering even be?
So it really focuses on optimization of systems, processes, production lines, very manufacturing focused. Mm-hmm. So ideally, you'd be working at a manufacturing plant, assessing the steps in the production line and seeing what step you can make faster, what's taking too much time, what's not working right. You know, just efficiency, very efficiency focused.
Okay. You ended up doing your master's degree in the States at Cornell Tech and got that degree, which again, wasn't specifically networking related, but somehow you did end up in networking. You said it was by chance. Tell us that story.
So what happened was I graduated, must be last year, maybe the year before, can't keep up anymore. And the job market was pretty slow. So I was just, especially as an international student, it's quite difficult, applying to 101 different jobs. And I stumbled into the sales engineering role. And I thought, you know, I love being technical, but I also love interacting with people and being customer facing. So I thought, wow, this is almost like a match made in heaven. Very cool. I didn't really think too far into what the technical specifics were. Applied for the role, carried on with my recruiting. That might have been in, gosh, probably a couple months before I heard back from the company. And I got a message from the recruiter saying, hey, let's chat about this job. And I totally forgot about it. I had no idea what company it was for, what the role was. And we just kicked it off. And from there, got the role as a sales engineer. I was a little bit apprehensive, seeing as networking was not my field of expertise. But fell in love with it, really. What I also realized is my master's in operations research is almost the basis of how routing protocols were developed, because in essence, they're all just certain operation research algorithms. And when I tied those two things together, it was quite interesting that by chance, you know, my master's kind of formed the basis of what network engineering is. So
sales engineer, which is a customer-facing role, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. So lots of different people every day. It's a lot of fun.
And you're supposed to know the answers to all these things. And okay. So I see some of the challenge that you're facing now. You're You've got a lot of education, a lot of technical education, but not a lot of networking specific education. Although you must have got some on the job training.
Yeah. So I went through nearly a year long training program, which was just, you know, everything from the basics, from the OSI layers to, you know, all the different protocols to all the hardware and software that the company was selling. So really just drinking from the fire hose, all things technical, the whole vast portfolio. So you have lots to learn in a very short space of time. And then, you know, getting thrown in front of a customer to answer all of their technical questions.
Okay. Well, N is for Networking is a series aimed at people like you. It's aimed at college students. It's aimed at people who are maybe making a job transition into networking and are trying to get their heads around all of the jargon, the acronyms, the big concepts, and so on, which, as you said, you've been drinking from the fire hose, trying to take it all in. Well, so Holly, what are you hoping to get out of this series?
Yeah, I think, you know, as a younger person in the space, it's very clear that it's kind of an aging career path, if I can say that. There's a very big gap between me and all of my colleagues and everybody in the industry. And I think the younger generation is really being pulled towards more computer science focused degrees, AI, ML, all of these buzzwords going on, and kind of forgetting that the fundamentals of everything is networking. You know, like you can't work at Google without having a network. So I really would just like to maybe be a younger voice to attract the younger generation back into the space. That would be like my first goal. And second to that is, you know, to be a voice for people who don't know anything in this space or find it new and overwhelming. And, you know, I've spoken to 101 people who are veterans in the space that know absolutely everything. And sometimes you just ask them a simple question of, I don't know, what does this acronym mean? And they've been doing it for so long that it's kind of instinctive of what it is, but the actual meaning behind it has disappeared from their brains along the way.
So, I'm laughing because that's me to some degree. I am one of those veterans that have been around for a long time. And exactly as you describe it is the case. There's some term, some concept that if you haven't thought about it for a while, you kind of know how it works and how it's going to behave, but to be able to explain what's going on under the hood to someone else, ooh, I got to think about that. I gotta go dig back in through some of my books because I used to know the answer to that, but I got to think about it. Now, you and I have exchanged a whole bunch of questions that we might discuss in future episodes. What are some of those questions that are interesting to you?
Yeah, I think when I first started getting to like the fundamentals of wrapping your head around the fact that, you know, we call it a packet, but like, what is a packet? And it's going over a copper wire or a fiber optic cable. And the idea that this vast amount of information is somehow transferred from A to B. Like, how does that actually work? What is a packet? How does this process happen? It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I think the engineering behind it is awesome. And I think sometimes you just overlook that. You know, everyone's like, okay, this is how we're going to do it. But no one understands how it's actually done.
Yeah, well, just to park on that for a second, it is interesting because for the most part, as a network engineer, you don't often have to care that much about layer one. That is the wire and the interface that it's plugged into, and whether it's a copper wire or fiber optics, it just works most of the time. And so you don't have to think about, well, okay, so what's taking the packet, the ones and the zeros that are there, and converting it into an electrical signal or a light wave, and what are the processes that it goes through? There are a bunch of processes that has to be gone through. And a lot of those processes require a lot of power, generate a lot of heat, which is some of the challenge that is happening now in data centers with 400 gig, 800 gig, and soon to come 1.6 terabit per second Ethernet, for example. All of that stuff matters deeply and is, in fact, driving different signaling that is happening inside of switches now. Now we're getting to silicon photonics, where it's not all silicon. Now there's fiber optics that are baked in to the chip, roughly stated. That's a very rough way to describe what's going on there. And it is fascinating. It genuinely is. So that'll be a fun conversation. What else you got?
I think there are a couple basics that I skipped along my journey, you know, a couple protocols that somehow, I guess, aren't really being implemented anymore, but everybody still talks about them. So specifically MPLS and MCLAG are two I mean, acronyms and protocols that get thrown around all the time that I've actually never touched. I don't know the first thing about them. Mm-hmm. I have done EVPN via CNAN, but I haven't done like the original stuff. So it's kind of, I've gotten to this point where I'm like, actually, how did we get to what I'm learning? Like, we're replacing these things with other protocols, but I need to know what we're replacing to understand why we're doing things a different way now.
It's funny you brought up MPLS and MCLAG, multi-chassis link aggregation. MPLS is a tagging protocol that's got deep history and was solving very specific problems back in the day, and is still a fundamental transport that is used all over the place in all different sorts of ways. MCLAG, oh man, there's a whole can of worms that we can open up there and dig into a multi-chassis link aggregation. And you're right. If you're in as a sales engineer, if you've been tasked with moving EVPN VXLAN configurations out the door, that's what they want you to sell. How MPLS plays into that is one question. MCLAG is potentially probably replaced, but not necessarily, all depending on the engineering of the fabric and how it went in. And again, a lot of history there with MCLAG. A lot of bad history, Holly, with MCLAG especially. People have scars because of MCLAG technology.
So I've heard. So I've heard. And I want to know why. Like, yeah, share the trauma. Sure. Let me understand it.
All right. What else you got?
A couple others. I think maybe, you know, one of the other ones is people talk about tunnelless versus tunneled WAN and SD-WAN and that whole space. And goodness. For me to wrap my brain around the fact that something is tunneled or tunnelless, I'm like, but in theory, nothing has got tunnels anywhere. So what does this mean? Like, I'm a basis of actual engineering. So you talking about tunnels, I'm thinking building tunnels, which is definitely not the case. So,
well, I would argue that the VXLAN fabrics that you're selling, that's tunneling as well. You're putting packets into, you're putting Ethernet frames into a VXLAN packet and tunneling that frame from one side of the data center to the other. So tunnels come up everywhere for all kinds of reasons. And nowadays, I would say 10 years ago, you didn't have tunnels everywhere. They were more of a special case thing. You'd have an IPsec tunnel because you wanted to encrypt some traffic before you'd send it somewhere. You would have a GRE tunnel, generic routing encapsulation, because reasons, or an IP and IP tunnel. It would solve certain problems for you. Now it's like, wow, because we're going to isolate this traffic from this traffic, and we're going to we're putting everything into a tunnel, it seems like these days, very often tied to security fabrics or a data center fabric that's got specific security requirements, and that's how you want it to build, which I'm sure you're nodding your head. I'm guessing that's some of your talking points.
Yeah. And, that's where it comes up, you know, a lot in the data center. So
these will all be good conversations. Now, the challenge for us, Holly, is these are meant to be short podcasts, like 10, 15 minutes. So we're really going to have to bake it right down to the simplest of terms. So it won't be like deep dive engineering discussions, but it'll help provide context here. So that's going to be my challenge. You're going to throw these questions at me, and I'll be like, how do I bake this down to, you know, a 5-minute conversation? We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I think that's super helpful, because exactly what you're saying, it's like, you know, for example, why 1 + 1 = 2, but can you explain that at this point in your life? I don't know, it just is. So for somebody who's listening to this, who has absolutely no understanding of any of it, it's great to be like, okay, well, this is the most basic way to explain any of it, like explaining it to a 3-year-old. I wish I had someone along my career journey to be like, okay, this is exactly what it is, and treat me like a 3-year-old, like I don't know anything. Yep. 2 minutes, like, let's go.
Yep. The high level overview that provides context for what this is and why it exists, maybe a little bit of history so you know why it used to exist, even if it doesn't do the same thing anymore. And when it's so interesting, when you have that much context around a concept, it's like half the problem has now been solved. You're like, okay, I kind of know what this is for, why I might use it. And then you can start digging into configuration stuff and engineering techniques and, you know, how you might do some of the design work. But just knowing what it's for and why you care just to begin with is a big thing.
Exactly. And sometimes I can configure all sorts of things, but do I really know why we're using it? Well, Sometimes maybe not. I just know it's the right way to do things because somebody told me along the way. So context is important.
Got any questions for me, Holly?
I think, you know, my main question is, you know, you've been at this for what, 10, 15 years, quite a while. Yeah. And podcasts are kind of maybe in the last 3 to 5 years have become big hype, really cool. Everybody's got a podcast, but you're almost at the forefront of it. So yeah. How did you start? How did you decide that you wanted to start a podcast specifically?
So the short history of Packet Pushers and how we started doing podcasts, in 2007, 2008 timeframe, I had a really popular blog called CCIE Candidate. I was working through Cisco's CCIE program at the time, and I blogged about it almost every day, certainly multiple times per week. And my friend Greg Farrow, who actually retired this past year, also had a very popular blog called Ethereal Mind. And we connected on the internet knowing about each other's popular blogs and were looking for a way to collaborate and said, what if we start a podcast? That's a new and upcoming thing. That seems like fun. And there wasn't such a thing. There wasn't a networking podcast. This is May 2010. We put out the very first Packet Pushers podcast, and we've been putting one out a week ever since until, I mean, and that's the story in a nutshell. It was just that simple. Yeah. We were doing it because we wanted to have conversations that we, you know, about our work and what we were doing, and conversations we couldn't hear anywhere else. And blogging is fun, but it's also lonely. You're just writing and hoping someone reads, and sometimes you get comments, sometimes you don't. Podcasting is a little more engaging. And of course, if you've ever listened to Greg before he retired, I mean, he was known to be contrarian and outgoing and a little bit confrontational. And so he's very entertaining to listen to. So yeah. The two of us would have some great conversations. And the podcast just had some staying power and it took off. And, you know, we're still doing it today because Packet Pushers has got great support from the vendor community who sponsor the show, you know, to come on and talk about their products and what they're doing. And that's meant we've been able to last, you know, as long as we've been able to last. Because now you make me feel old, because 2010 was not recently. That was a long time ago. So it's because now it's 2024 and we're recording this.
Yeah, I was very young in 2010. Long time ago.
Well, Holly, let's bring this teaser episode to a close here. If people want to connect with you, how can they follow you on the internet?
LinkedIn. Just my name, Holly Mitlitsky. You can find me there. It's, you know, easiest way to get to me.
Okay, very good. And I'm Ethan Banks. The same thing. You can find me on LinkedIn. If you want to listen to the other podcasts I'm co-hosting these days, those would be Heavy Networking, which is, that is the series that was how we started back in 2010. So there's 700 and something episodes of Heavy Networking out there these days. And I am also on the Tech Bytes podcast along with Drew Conroy Murray. He co-hosts both of those shows with me. You can also catch up with me on the Packet Pushers community Slack, which is at packetpushers.net/community. You can read the rules for our Slack group there. There's not many of them. They're pretty simple. And join, and I'd be happy to chat with you, and you can send me a DM there or on LinkedIn. Thank you for listening to this teaser episode of NS for Networking. The first episode, this is episode 000 because, you know, you start with zero. The first episode, 001, is scheduled to drop October 31st, 2024. So subscribe today, tell your friends, and you're going to find NS for Networking anywhere you get your podcasts. If you have topics that you would like Holly and I to cover, would you send us a message at packetpushers.net/follow-up? We will add your request to the list. Again, that's packetpushers.net/follow-up. And just remember, networking isn't hard. Other people figured it out, so you can too.